glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let us move forth in our continuum as we discourse from our dissertation document. Everybody should have one. If not, there are some in the back. Amen. Seated, I guess, have a copy. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions and measures. The matrix. Let's go to page 27 this morning. This is where we left off last time. I know we're kind of moving through this slowly. For those that are watching by way, listening and watching by way of the webcast, if you go to either the audio or the video sector, there you will see an icon that you will click on, and this entire document comes up, some 60 pages, which is part one. And of course, there are five other parts. I'm going to hold that for a while. Amen. But we're on page 27. More importantly, take your Bibles. Turn to the essence of what we have been dealing with from the beginning, and that is, as we look into the matrix, the essence of what the entire spectrum and scope of life is. The thing that you encounter each day, the thing that you see, the thing that you are most affected by. Amen. It's not a runaway train. It's not. Life is not just out there floating somewhere, and of course it's like a tiger by the tail has got you, drag you along. Amen. And we're vulnerable to whatever goes on out there. Amen. No. When you think like that, amen, what you're saying is that you are completely cut off and separated from the God of your salvation. And when you look at that in a physical sense, I guess that could cause some trepidation. But basically, we are on one little spot on Earth. Earth is a little spot, a particle, in comparison to the solar system. Then the solar system is a little dot in the Milky Way. That's the galaxy that the solar system, the sun, resides in. And then when you look into the universe, you see the billions upon billions upon billions of objects there. The Milky Way, as large as it is in proportion to what we call largeness, the Milky Way is what? The Milky Way is a dot. And then you're still not through because you're still into physicality. Now you have to move out of physicality, amen, because you have... You go the extra step, you got to move out of the sphere of physicality into spirituality. And so now you're into the essence of who God is. Amen. And you're into eternality. And so there's a great chasm there based upon time and space, but also based upon physicality and spirituality.
Amen.
And so to get to where God is and to where we are, amen, it seems like there is an insurmountable chasm. So if we're isolated from Him, It is first from spirituality to physicality. And so God is light. As you look on the first page of this document here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14, basically says that he emits light, and that's where everything starts. Everything is in God. Yes. All creation is in him. Everything, amen, comes from him. So the light goes out, and then the light transitions into energy. As we move across that spectrum, right? Because now we've entered back into physicality. And the energy does what? Vapor. And then the vapor goes to what? Gas. Then the gas goes to what? Liquids. And then the liquid goes to what? Solids. And that is quantitated into the universe, and then the universe into the galaxy, and then the galaxy into the solar system, and then the solar system into this little dot called Earth, and we're just a dot on the Earth. So it seems like a long way. But God took care of that in eternity.
Yes, it did. Amen.
Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. Bless the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, having blessed us with each and every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavens. Where the heavens? In Christ. According as he did what?
Chose
us what? In him. When? Before the foundation of the world. Amen. So you can skip all of that because we are in him in the spiritual realm. Oh my God. Now you must understand this, because as you stand at the opposite end of the spectrum on earth and you see the things that are before you, it is so easy to forget about who we are. Who you are in Christ is more permanent than who you are in the flesh. Who you are in Christ is forever. Who you are in the flesh is temporary. Who you are in Christ is spirituality.
Yes.
Who you are in the flesh is physicality.
Yes.
And so it is the essence of who I am in him that causes me to be calm in the midst of the storm.
Come on, Pastor. Bring it out. Bring it out.
Thank God.
To know he who is in me, he's greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater than he who is in the world. And if you don't know that, life is going
to
run you crazy. Life is going to mess you up. You're going to be a basket case. Now take your Bibles. Let's go where we were in the Wednesday evening Bible study. Let's go to Colossians. Was that chapter 2? Verse 1. Now when we look into the Word of God, focus must always be on him.
Yeah.
In other words, look at Christ more than you look at life, because your life is Christ.
Is Christ.
Elder Liverman is our designated reader. Elder, let's Oh, my God, the clock always beat me up, you know. One of these days, y'all let me preach about 4 or 5 hours, and I don't have to be rushing through this stuff. I love to say that because I love the looks I get. Amen. We're causes of the time. Our focus is going to be basically on 8, but just to bring things into a little focus there. The pastor used to always say, amen, make sure that you are contextualize. Go up a few verses, go down a few verses to make sure that you're not dealing with a standalone verse that may not be expressing what you think it is expressing. In that first chapter, chapter 2, verse 1, it's apparent that Paul is writing to these saints at Colossae, and he had not seen them. Yet, when you compare Colossians to Ephesians, there are many things that are similar. Here he ministered to the saints, the churches at Ephesus, but he had never seen those in Colossae. Amen. And you know, it's not necessary. Many ministers today, they hone in on and they focus on a person, a personality. The ministry is not about a man. The ministry is about the message. I mean, the man can come and go. The ministry is about the message. I say all the time, it doesn't matter who's up here preaching. If he's preaching the gospel, the grace of God, amen. It could be Donald Duck or Daisy Duck, amen. Doesn't matter. So, well, that's Donald Duck, though. But just no. What is the message? And here's what Paul basically is saying here, that their hearts are drawn together through this full assurance of comprehending and understanding something. And what he's talking about here, it's the mystery. Everybody said the mystery.
The mystery.
Now, in our Sunday school, we have been, and we'll continue, to discourse in the document, what is the revelation of the mystery? That is according to Ephesians chapter 3. It's in a dispensation that was given to Paul, and that dispensation is a covenant. In that covenant, it says that this is information that was hid for generations, that is given to me for you. He's talking about a volume of truth called the mystery. Everybody said a mystery. We're not talking about some novel or something. No. Here, the reference here is to a volume of truth that was unknown in the prior generations before it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. It is the grace covenant. Everybody said the grace covenant. Which is different from the new covenant. Most of the church world they propagate and give the impression that we are under the new covenant. No. The new covenant replaced the old covenant.
Yes.
And the new covenant is to those whom the old covenant was given to.
That's right.
Yes, which eliminates Gentiles. So the essence of this message is that it is delivered to a people that were not known to be his people. Now, before we get into this thing of Jew and Gentile, and as I explained earlier, as I was dealing with International Day that will be coming up here in this month, this message makes it clear. There is no distinction of personalities. We're all in one body, and that body has only one head. And so there is no such thing as Jew, Gentile, any other nationality in this body. This message takes us into the eternal realm of what God did through the tree before creation and having established us and placed us into Him before time. I promise men of God's people, we don't know who we are. We think we're just on the earth, we're just part of men and we're in the flesh, and what you see is what you get, and this is what we're doing. I said, no. Where were you before you were in the flesh? Where? In Christ. Where are you when you manifestly separate from this body and you are no longer a part of this body? Where you were before you ever got into this body, because you never left in Christ. Of things that we must understand.
Glory to God.
That we get a greater view of life than what we call life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you look around and you see all this stuff going on and it doesn't make sense within itself.
No.
But what we call life, it is only a component of the greater scheme of what God's purpose is for us.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. How can this be the dominant? It's too quick, it's too short. In comparison with eternity, time is but a whisper. So our lives transcend the boundaries of time and physicality up on into the stream of eternality. Oh, don't you just love Him this morning? Give Him a praise. So, the essence of our life is more than what we perceive it to be.
Right.
So, as we look into the essence of this context, verse 3, he says, all of these knowledge, the treasure, wisdom of knowledge, all of the answers to all the questions. And he said, if you don't understand this, he said, you're going to be tricked by enticing words. And basically, in verse 6, he says, so therefore, as you receive this message, that's how you are to live. As you have received Christ, or received the message of Christ, that's how you are to live. What are you saying? Follow this. There are two avenues of preaching Christ. One is according to prophecy. The other one is according to this mystery. Preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy, just an expansion of the Old Testament writings.
Amen.
Preaching of Jesus Christ according to mystery is according to revelation of those things that were not known before. That's the difference.
Amen.
That's the difference between the new covenant that is earthly focused and the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
That is heavenly, eternally focused. In other words, when you enter the grace covenant as opposed to the new covenant. In the new covenant, you're on earth looking around in life. In the grace covenant, you're into the heavens looking down on life. Which is a better view? Looking around are looking down. A bird's eye panoramic view is always the best view. To get to the how, why, when, and where, you must have the entire panoramic view of things. The grace message. Everybody say the grace message. And so in verse 6 he said, now this is what we're going to live in and live by. And this is what you will be rooted and built up, established in the faith, in the message. Verse 8, he said, if you don't, this is going to happen to you. Start reading.
Colossians
2 and 8, say amen.
Colossians chapter 2, beginning with the 8th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
And not according to Christ, as we dealt last week, amen. In the Greek, they're not according to Christ. Amen. Now we're going to get the essence of what life is and what things are. And everything revolves around Christ. And verse 9 says what?
Verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body.
Everything that you need and everything touching life and everything revolves around him. And here's where our security come in. What's the next verse? It says what?
Verse 10. And ye are complete in him.
Say that again.
And ye are complete in him.
Once again.
And ye are complete in him.
In him. In him. In Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
Christ is your life. Christ is exclusively your life. Colossians 1:16, all things were created what? In him. No matter what they are.
That's right.
And how did they come? Through him. For what purpose? For him. Let's do that again. In him, through him, for him. So that means everything comes out of him. That's what life is. Otherwise, we say, what is this? No, no. What is this for?
Hallelujah.
Purpose,
hallelujah.
Not process.
Hallelujah.
Elder, read that verse 10 from the Greek.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 10.
Now, the reason we go to the Greek interlinear is that he has the Greek word there. He does not have the freedom to float all over, editorize, because sometimes he... But he is, at least has to put some asterisk there if he goes off the script. All right, read.
Colossians 2, verse 10 in the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
And ye are in him, having been filled.
Say it again.
Having been filled.
When were you completed in him? In eternity. You are not a work in progress. They told us that, according to the writings of some theologians, I have a lot of respect for them. I'm not here to try to, you know, to do battle with them, but we're going to follow the word.
Amen. Thank you.
When were you completing him? They taught us that the theologian wrote that we have been saved, we are being saved, we shall be saved. And if Spurgeon or somebody write that in this way, of course, because that's in most of the libraries. I got Spurgeon upstairs. I'm not saying Spurgeon said it. I forgot who said it. But anyway, if that's what's there, that's what the preacher comes out in the pulpit and preaches. And people really not following in the Bible. And if the preacher said, you say, well, you know, if we say something, where did it come from? Did it come out of the theologian's writings? That's not good enough.
No.
Is it written here?
Amen.
Is your salvation a work in progress? Or are you complete? What does this say? Haven't been complete. When? In eternity, before time. You're not on your way to heaven.
Nope.
A work in progress means that there's something that you're building on each day. You know the old quartet song, I'm sending up my timber and
yeah.
Working on the building. Because
yeah.
if you're working on the project, is if you stop the project, you don't complete the project. Huh? The whole thing is a resounding failure. And this is what makes us so nervous in life, because we're nervous about salvation.
Yes. Yeah.
It starts with salvation. Whatever you think about salvation, that's what you bring right down into life.
That's right.
If you understand that all things are complete in Him, then you're not nervous. It's the difference between complete and in progress.
Amen. Amen.
It's the difference between I'm going to the store and I've been to the store.
That's right.
If I'm going to the store, something might happen, I might not get there.
That's right.
If it's done, it's done.
It's done.
And here it said, having been filled.
Mm-hmm.
Read. Finish it up.
And ye are in Him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Mm-hmm. So it goes on down and it tells us who He is, how we're tied to Him, and the rest of this verse as we look here, how we basically, and here these are spiritual terminologies Paul is using here. And he said dead and buried, and even when he says baptism, he's speaking of spiritual things. He's not speaking of physical things. He's not speaking of a ritual when he says baptism. A metaphor when he talks about being buried. He's speaking about the fact of where we are, having been placed there before the foundation of the world. So your life is not a journey from the standpoint that today, basically today is where your conscience is in a certain frame of life. But that's not the basis of the essence of existence as it relates to who you are and what you are. That frame that's several years down the road for some of us.
Oh, Lord.
Whatever's in there has been there from eternity.
Right.
And who you are transcends all physicality.
All of it.
Oh my God.
All of it. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God.
You're complete. Say, I'm complete.
I am complete.
In Him. Say it again. I'm complete
in Him.
This is what we are basically to understand. Now, this is how we bring this down into life. Let's go back to let's look to the bottom of page 27. See where it says the genuinely intelligent the genuine intelligence. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, as we look into the document here, basically, what it is explaining is that as it speaks of the matrix is a basis, it is a medium wherein things are expressed in representations. If you go back to the front of this document, all of these, we have a glossary of definitions. And I'm just trying to cut through because this time is really beating me up here this morning. The essence of this is what we call life. It is a display of things that our conscious is experiencing. But it's all for purpose. Otherwise, you look around in life and you see all the crazy things that are happening. People born, people dying, and you know, situations are happening and so forth and so on. Things are changing in your life and many of the things that are bewildering. Some of them are depressing. And it gets to be one big puzzle. If you are dependent upon what you see. Understand here. This document is about scriptural understanding or comprehension of measures, the matrix, that is the frame within what you are looking at and you call life. So, from the scriptures, understanding what you encounter, what you think you see, or what you are interfacing each day. Understanding. And you can be confused if you're following what you see instead of what you know. What you see is what's depicted before you. What you know is what the Word of God is telling you, because you can only know what God has chosen to reveal to you.
That's right. That's it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So, actually, we have an aphorism principle saying around here. Repeat after me. It's in the saying.
It's in the saying.
Not the seeing.
Not the seeing.
In other words, life is about what God has said, not what you see or you think you see. Five people can look at the same thing and come out with five different renditions of what it is. But oh, for, oh my God, we look into the Word of God. Gives you the essence of what's before you. Let's look at that page 27 as we look into the matrix or look into life. This section here, going back, head of this particular section is nebulous narratives. Everybody said nebulous narratives.
Nebulous narratives.
In physicality, secularity measures the matrix. That's at the bottom of page 26. Now, what we're saying here, nebulous means what?
Confusing.
Things that are confusing. Narratives of what?
Occurrence or events.
So we're talking about confusing events and occurrences of things where?
In the matrix.
What's the matrix? That's what you call life.
Right.
So, confusing things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Confusing happenings in life. Those things that baffle us. Now we have moved down to this section in here. Bottom of page 27 where it says the genuinely intelligence. You got that, everybody? Amen. The genuinely intelligent spiritual realm, decipher beyond the superficial strains of the very elastic predicaments of measures. What are we saying here? The spiritual realm, it brings out the meaning and understanding. It goes beyond the superficial strains of the things that seems very flexible, elastic in life. here today, gone tomorrow. I maybe was never here. Just making sense out of life. You know, have you ever looked at somebody's eye? This doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. It means it doesn't make sense to me. And just because it doesn't make sense to me doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. If God has placed it there for his purpose, I cannot say it doesn't make sense. Because if it didn't make sense, it wouldn't be there. It's in that frame that your conscience is moving through for purpose. Everybody said purpose. Let's not confuse the processes of life with the ultimate purpose of God or why that thing is there. And if it's there, it's only there because God puts it there. No one else is big enough, bad enough to put it there. I know we talk about the devil. He's a creature created, and his role was assigned to him as the apostle. But his power comes from God. The devil's power comes from God. Where would it come from? All power is what? It's ordained of God. And so whatever that thing is, it's more about what it is for than what it is. Because what it is for defines what it is. Follow. The genuinely intelligent spiritual realm deciphered beyond the superficial strains of the very elastic predicaments of measures. In effect, profoundly establishing God's purpose in the matrix pit the description of itself. Everything is confined in physicality. To manifestation. Yes, sir. Manifestation is a component of actualization. Actualization goes back to the essence of God having decreed something. Amen. Which goes to the bottom line. A purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we just do things and we don't understand ourselves why we did it. Mm-hmm. But God's not like that. Oh. You know, sometimes we think of God as maybe a colleague. Oh, God is God. Everything is according to him, for him. Continuing, therein transcend the superior enlightenments. Everybody, superior enlightenments. Regarding all physicality, secularity, components. As to their regulatory identifications with incompetent apparatuses of scientific assimilation. So what are we saying there? You know, if we understand that these things are all a part of a plan. As you look at life and you see what we call chaos and the disorder and so forth and so on. So, but God's not the author of confusion. God's not confused. There's order to the disorder. The craziest thing you see out there, God has a purpose for it. And I stop begging God to move the mountain without understanding the reason that the mountain is there in the first place. He didn't put the mountain there to move it. He placed it there to use it. And if he moves it, it is after he has used it. Purpose. Everybody said purpose. Continuing. The conventional extremities of the cosmic spectrum's off views convey in human professions co-opted with pitiful neurophysiologists. Now what are we saying there? We talk about processes of time and things that happen. they're all designed. Even the collisions that happen up in the cosmos. When megastars collide and we get the supernovas. No collision is an accident. Oh my God. So well, if I come up to the corner and say, I started to go right and I went left and went three blocks down and somebody came to the intersection and bam, if I had gone right, you couldn't have gone right. That was one. Otherwise, we say there are random things happening out in the universe. Oh my God, which amen, it is said that God is a creator, but he's not a designer. But oh my God, everything, even a leaf that falls in the forest, even if no one knows it, it doesn't matter. Amen. It only fell because God ordered it. Oh, give him a praise this morning. And there was a purpose for it falling. Doesn't matter whether anybody saw it or not, or witnessed it. Because it wasn't for us, it was for him. All things, if you say that part in Colossians 1:16, for him. The bottom line, everything is according to his purpose, for him. Not for us. We think life is about us. Life is not about you. It's all about him. Give me about 15 minutes. I'm going to bail out here. The divergence. Are you with me? The divergence between deified processes, processor performance. The divergence, the difference between deified processor performance and human conditions. What are deified processor performance? Deified deals with deity, deal with God. Things that he do in the performance of his purpose. The difference between that and human conditions that you're understanding. The difference between what God is doing and what you're doing. Jesus. And we think that what we're doing. Is the real deal. Well, I believe nobody's checking to see what God is doing. Because what God is doing is what that thing is really about. Me, me, I. That's why you always end up saying why. Because it's not about you. Life is not about me. That's the hardest thing for us to comprehend. Life is not about us. That's what gets us in trouble. That things are all messed up according to what? According to my plans, my imagined itinerary. Said that wasn't the agenda. No, what you're saying is that wasn't your agenda. But you don't have an agenda. God has the agenda. That's why we start out to do things and then you ever start to do something that thing got completely turned around? What happens quite a bit? Because that wasn't the agenda. God has the agenda.
Amen.
Oh my God. So the difference between what God is doing, that is deified process of performance, and human conditions, that is what I understand. It is less startling once it is realized that the former, that is what God is doing, is in ontologism. That is, ontologism means that that's the actual being of things. While the latter, that is what I'm thinking, is an artificially programmed processor composed in symbols that possibly may or may not be mirrored what resides in the actual essence of the former, that is what God is doing. Here what we're saying is the difference between what God is doing and what I'm doing is that what I'm doing may not amount to anything. Basically, unless it aligns up with what God is doing.
Yeah.
This is why when we pray, we have our petitions. But before we close that petition, Lord, your will is done.
Thank God, yes.
That Greek word there in that passage concerning our prayers is not intercession. It is alignment. Romans tells us that we don't know what to pray for. So how are we going to be interceding if we... No, the Spirit intercedes. And God always listens to the Holy Spirit. And thank God he doesn't always listen to me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God.
So your petitions has to line up with the Spirit. Because only the Spirit knows the mind of God. Well, one of these days we're going to come to understand life is not about me. The latter, that's what I'm thinking. The latter apparatuses are things always and only generates stimulating pulsations and energetic sequences of illumination that are screened as testimonial, manifested, delayed journeys. Here's what we're saying. So I'm out here and I've got some plans. And it ain't going to happen because it's not God's plan. And the only thing that counts as we go through the frames, the sequences of illuminations, that what is screened there as testimonial manifest delayed journeys is your experience to walk through something so you can learn something so you'll know it's not about you, it's all about Him. So it brings us back to, and I'm going to try to finish up this sector today. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Elder, read that, and then we're going to go through the exegesis that we have laid out here.
First Corinthians chapter 9. The 26th verse.
Uh-huh. Everybody got it, amen? All right, read.
I therefore so run.
Now he makes a, because we don't have time, the time is gone. He makes a conclusive statement here. In the time he said, therefore, thus, hence, accordingly, you sum it up. So the Greek word there is And the summation is that as you look at the verses before, he has highlighted all the things that he has gone through, and it looked like maybe if all of these encompasses are there, it means you're going to fail. And Paul here is saying, in spite of what you see of the things that come against you, in this case, that has come against me. Read. Therefore what?
I therefore so run, not as uncertainly.
I fight, I militate, not as uncertainly. Go ahead.
So fight I, not as one that beateth the air.
All right, let's go to the Greek right quick.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 in the Greek text.
Uh-huh.
I accordingly so run as not unclearly.
Not unclearly. That thing is doesn't seem to be. But what does God say? Whose time clock are you moving on?
Glory.
Well, man, throw it away.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Thank God.
It is in Him we live, we move, we are, not in ourselves. Oh, God, help us to understand that. Otherwise, we're going to be one frustrated soul. Never at peace.
Amen.
Things weren't designed to go your way.
Amen.
According to my plan. Oh. Read.
So I box as not.
So I meditate as what?
As not air beating.
As not, I'm not beating the air. If it doesn't seem like I'm getting nowhere, I am getting somewhere because I'm on God's time clock and whatever He has purposed is already complete.
Already complete. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Take your eyes off yourself and look at Jesus.
Yes, sir. Glory to God.
Now let's go back to the document and I'm going to try to finish up that sector this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
1 Corinthians 9:26 states, I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so our pose is not beating the air. The content of this verse conveyance is addressed specifically in the accessory sense of contending, striving, and agonizing in the universe's communal grid. Perceptions in this orb are subjectively influenced by the rigorous, perishable, decaying, and corruptible climates in measures the matrix. Advancements of positive certainties in this plotted terrain are garnered and conferred beyond physicality's secularity scope, specifically where? In the actualized affirmation of eternality. This imperishable realm exhibits in the heavens solely in spirituality, which precipitate settings encompass this discipline. We have a Greek phrase here, ego tinin otos trekos uk athelos, which is rendered, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. This manifestly expresses an able characterization of enlightened ones, that is, our enlightened essence, jubilant functioning, and we are jubilant because we are functioning above the fray of physical, secular things that are envisioned in the matrix. I'm happy because what I see in the matrix is not the influence mechanism that directs my countenance. But what I see is what I know, and what I know is what the Word of God is revealing, and what the Word of God is revealing is above the scope of the things that are around me.
Amen.
Let's finish this up. Thus, what characterizes comprehension in the unseen, spiritually eternal. Everybody say unseen. Spiritually eternal. This far outweighs observations depicted in visually yet non-durable manners of failure, sorrow, exhaustion, and debilitation, latitude of obscurities prevalently induced in life ferocities. Ferocities actually talking about things that you want that you will never be able to get because the human emotion is never satisfied. The more I get, the more I want. Depravity is never satisfied. I saw on the television the other night the story of three men, industrialists that supposedly built this country, John Rockefeller, I think his first name was Arthur Carnegie. Whatever his first name is, I don't hold me to that. And the other one was J.P. Morgan. The richer they got, the greedier they got. And J.P. Morgan was so greedy, he decided to take out Carnegie. So he took him out or bought him out, so that he would be the richest guy. Then Rockefeller started on him. He said, well, why is that? I can understand that. If I got a few billion, why am I here? No. You understand how depravity works. Depraved nature is never satisfied. The more you get, the more you want. The only thing can satisfy my soul is Christ. The extent of such ennobled functioning in testimonial exhibitions owe their gleanings to eternal viewing. Everybody say eternal viewing. Just engendered in the calidus which initiate operational impetuses. We have the Greek phrase here, otos pictevos os uk aria thero, which is rendered so our pulse is not beating the air because my barometer is not set on earthly triumphs and accomplishments. This is what Paul is saying. I don't use the same gauge the world uses. This indeed formats Romans 12 to the rectus, which we dealt with last week. Opposition to the cosmic influence, being not conformed to this age, but being transformed by the renewal of the mind. Remember that conforming not to this age, that was a what? Passive voice. And transform or being moved into the essence of eternality by the renewal of our mind, that's also in the what? Passive voice. These are things that God does. And that's the purpose of these exercises. Why have you sat here an hour this morning? What is the purpose of us coming together? To learn. Many of us think that, of course, I love the good music and everything and so forth. Some people, they had a good choir. What did you learn? Because there's some out there waiting for you. And all the choirs around, even the choirs in heaven, not going to rescue you. Knowledge. Comprehension. All right, last paragraph, and I'm down. Possessions and measures, the matrix, not comprehensibly distinguishable of what are expedited from what are delayed. In other words, amen, things that you think don't happen and doesn't happen that way, delayed, or even that's not the way it goes. Don't look at that as the final end of things. Follow this. Cosmic searches for symbols in this terrain are aimless because there are no identifiable icons for pulses and pauses. The sole extraordinary processor facilitates this comprehension. I see I'm going to have to come back and touch on this before I go to the next part next week. This comprehension through the unique application of viewing what is seen in deference to what is unseen. In other words, what you see takes a back seat to what God is saying. The unseen is what God is saying. The seen is what your eyes are gazing and taking in. Embracing physicality, secularity, constellation of its specific dialect, evinces processor programs involving its sources. However, it doesn't establish capacity, testimonial experiences of thoughts. In other words, what you're going to pull out of what you see and what you deal with on a daily basis, amen, within themselves, doesn't make the grade, doesn't make the cut for testimony. It's what God has done. I want to hear testimony about God, not about you. Only about you in relationship to God and what he has done. The testimony and the glory is about him. We haven't done anything to glory in. In this paradoxical mode, Artificial intelligence. Everybody say artificial intelligence. We dealt with that last week. That's what the human mind perceives and sometimes formulate in computers and in scientism principles. It necessarily employs in its obvious missions, in its oblivious missions. Why are you saying that? Because it's there in opposition and identification of the marvels of actualized being. Everybody said the marvels of actualized being. Marvels of actualized being is what that thing really is. And what that thing is what God designed it to be. And what he designed it to be is that from eternity that's aligned with his eternal intentions. And so life is about God and all the things that he has designed and done for the basis of his glory. Amen. At the end of the day, who's glorified?
God.
Who's praised?
God.
Who's worshipped?
God.
Well, I know mankind. Sometimes some months ago, they supposed they finally was able to put their finger on the huge bosom, that is the God particle, and they were congratulating me. I went, what? All right, well, tell me, what is it? Well, I don't know, but that's what it is. Then what is it? That's not what it is, because you cannot explain physicality with physicality. To explain physicality, you've got to go to spirituality. And to get to the bottom line, it is about spirituality being explained spiritually. Oh my God, God is the essence of our lives. He, my God, has made us and not us